You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas, Texas begins tonight over at Baum Walker Stadium. The Razorbacks have the number one ranked team in town. Bubba Carpenter is in studio with me today. We'll break down the matchup, but first a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Big power arms, big ones, and just big power bats. And I think Dave Van Horn, and along with Kevin O'Sullivan and Tim Corbin, has been the, those are their preeminent coaches, Mike Bianco. But, Van Horn has just built such an unbelievable program, and the crowd and the experience at their ballpark is just, it's unlike anything that this team has seen this year. No disrespect to Mississippi State or anybody else where we've been, but this will be a pretty big time environment. Huge power. They're top two or three most talented teams in the country. They've had a couple rough weekends, which can happen in this conference, and now they're home with Texas coming in. So it's going to be a firestorm. I expect that, and it'll be a good experience for our team.
So that's Texas coach Jim Sausnagel on coming to Fayetteville this weekend. That was following the Longhorns' 11-2 victory over Prairie View A&M on Tuesday night. Texas 38-5 overall, 19-2 in the SEC. They come into Fayetteville, Bubba, on a 10-game win streak. One of the things that he mentioned there, I think, is really one of the keys to the series, the fact that they haven't played anybody on the road this year. They played Mississippi State, which can be hostile, but they're not a good team this year. Played Missouri on the road. They played Kentucky on the road. They haven't stepped into a road situation where they're going to play not only a hostile environment, but a really talented team on the other side. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes.
Matt, you and I said early on, when we went to Ole Miss, we were going to find out how good we were. And then we went to Vandy, we were going to see how good we were. We had our tests early on. It's crazy that it's May 1st and they're really getting their first road tests, this weekend. So we'll see how good they really are. I think we match up really well against them. I mean, looking at their numbers, looking at our numbers. Of course, you don't play it on paper, so you go out and you play the game and see what happens. But I just feel like they were in a situation where we were a couple years ago. We won a whole bunch of really close games, a lot of one-run games. Everything kind of went our way. I feel that's where they're at this year. There's a lot of games you go back and look at. They could have easily lost that game, and they found a way to win. Now, good teams do that, so we'll see what happens this weekend.
The availability report that came out last night, it's got a lot of names on there for Arkansas. I mean, Nolan Souza obviously out. We know that. Parker Coyle still out. Carson Wiggins out with the elbow injury. Gabe Frazier questionable at second base. Logan Maxwell questionable in the outfield. And then Michael Anderson, who hasn't played a whole lot, he's questionable with an injury too. Boy, I tell you, if they can't have Gabe Frazier go, I mean, it's already a situation where it's not your guy playing at second base. It's going to be very interesting to see, how do they handle that? Do they move Cam Kozel over? Do they play Rocco Pepi at first base? Do they play Reese Robinette at first base? Who plays in right field? There's a lot of moving pieces to this. And if you listen to Dave Van Horn talk yesterday, you could tell, because he touched on it a number of times, they're expecting to have a weekend that's impacted by injuries in some form or fashion.
The good thing about it is we have a lot of depth on this lineup, but I think you said it. Probably the answer to the problem is move Kozel over to second. He was a natural second baseman. Put Rocco at first, but I think Dave even referred to it. This is a weekend where when you've got injuries, you need someone in your lineup to step up. Someone new to step up. So whether it's Rocco Pepi, whether it's a Carson Bowles, whether Diggs gets a chance, has a big week, someone's got to have a big weekend. I think this weekend, I think someone will do it.
Arkansas needs a win. They need a series win, preferably, but at least get out of here with a win and competitive games to feel good about themselves going down the stretch here. You know, after these three series losses that they've had, it doesn't get any easier, though, does it? I mean, they play number one, number two, and number six to end the season. Dave Van Horn was asked about this stretch of games that they have to finish these final 3 weeks, and this is what he had to say about it yesterday.
As a player, and I mentioned this to the team yesterday, I said, if I was sitting in your shoes, 21 years old, looking back at me right now, I would be so excited about the schedule we have going forward. Because our guys want to win, but it's not life and death. And, you know, I want to win, and I feel the same way. We get to play three of the best teams in the country, and win or lose, it's going to prepare us for a month from now, and then hopefully we're playing. And because we have seen it all. I mean, really, we've seen it all with the schedule. And so they should just be excited to be in college, be 18 to 23 years old in most cases, and have a chance to play college baseball and play in front of huge crowds for the next 3 weekends, go to the SEC tournament, and then hopefully playing in a regional somewhere and hopefully here.
I look at these next 3 weeks, Bubba, as almost one maybe cluster of games. And maybe if you can go 5-4, you may not win every series, but if you could go 5-4 over those 9 games, I think you'd be, number one, you'd be feeling really good about yourself going into the tournament. But number two, you just held your own 5-4 against, like I said, the numbers 1, 2, and 6 teams. Probably all three of those teams are going to be a national seed when Memorial Day rolls around.
Yeah, and I love the way Dave put it right there, Matt. And he's kind of putting things in perspective. You know, be happy for what you've got. Be happy that you can get up, go out, and play the game of baseball. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't fortunate enough. I have that talk with my 13-year-olds a lot about, look, there's a lot of kids that would give anything. You know, there's kids that will never put on a baseball uniform for health reasons. Mm. And I want them to be grateful for what they have. And that's kind of what Dave's telling his guys right now. Look, you're lucky. You know, you can get up and put on a Razorback uniform, go out there and play the game. It's not life or death. You know, there's a lot of things in life a lot bigger than what's happening this weekend. Go out there and have fun, play hard, play loose, and then just play Razorback baseball. And I just like the way he breaks that down.
It's interesting because, again, I think you have people who watch baseball who view it through the lens of other sports. You can hear him in that soundbite talk about it's about having your team playing the best when it matters the most.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily, and we touched on this earlier this week, not necessarily going all in to win the SEC. If you can win it and you can do it within reason, hey, that's great, but don't just go all out to win the conference and wear yourself out by the time regional play rolls around.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's kind of an evolution of Dave Van Horn. Now, I might be completely wrong. I don't think that he would have said that same thing 10 years ago. Hmm. You know, I think he views things differently now. I mean, this is just a process to get you ready for postseason. Let's say we go on to postseason, make it to Omaha. No one's going to remember this series. No one's going to remember the rubber match that we lost at Georgia or Florida. People aren't going to remember that. They're going to remember what happened at the end of the season. I think Dave sees that. And right now we're just trying to get the team, you know, reshape the team with all the injuries and get the right guys in the right place to go out and get some wins. And if it happens, awesome. You know, if it doesn't, then, you know, we build on it, we learn from it, and we get ready for next weekend.
You could tell listening to him yesterday that it really is about reflecting on themselves this week, about, hey, how can we play better? And if the improvements that we can make are good enough to beat Texas, great. It's not about, you know, psyching yourself out, you know, listing off all the strong characteristics of the Texas team. And this is what the soundbite is that we're about to play. It's about just making sure that the Razorbacks are doing things to the best of their capability with who they can put on the field. And again, the injury bug, I think, has bit this team hard, at least for this week's series. This is what Dave Van Horn had to say about that, though.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, I try to answer your question we're just really worried about us. And that's kind of our thing right now. It's like, hey, whatever, they're good. We know they're good. We know LSU good. We know Tennessee's good. Florida, Georgia. But we need to take care of what we need to take care of. And we will be in every game. And sometimes you get so carried away worrying about the other team and the scattering reports, and you just blow the guy's mind a little bit. And so we just we're trying to keep it pretty simple and use the players that we have available to help us win the series.
And again, there's another reference to the players that we have available. It just it doesn't sound like you know, they're going to have their full team available this week.
Well, when you were over here a second ago and I was listening to something, I was listening to that soundbite. First time I heard it, I was on the phone. I had Dave going in the background. I could kind of hear it. And what I wrote down out of that was worry about us. I didn't hear the whole thing. I just heard that. And I love that, because I think in today's game, there's so many stats, there's so many analytics. You can pick it apart, you know. Now, there's certain things that you want to know. You want to know guys' tendencies. There's certain things like that. But at the end of the day, we've got to worry about us going out and playing Razorback baseball. We got to love it. We're at home, best ballpark in America, best fans in America. The rivalry, you know, I know he's probably been asked, he's nauseated about all the time he's been asked about the rivalry, mm-hmm. about, you know. These guys don't know about a rivalry, Matt. All they know is number one team in the nation's coming in here, and let's go get them. You know, they don't know anything that happened back in the past. Now, older people, the old guys like me, remember it. I remember playing them in 89. Mm-hmm. I remember in 90. You know, I remember how big that series was. And it basically, it typically came down to us in Texas or us in Texas and A&M. And we had some really good games. And, you know, George Cole Field back in the day, we didn't get a lot of fans. When Texas came to town, that place was full. Didn't hold a lot, but it got rowdy, and it was always a lot of fun to play Texas. They always had big arms, and I mean, those are the guys you want to face. You want to face the best pitchers in the country. So I always got fired up to play Texas. And I wish these guys knew a little bit more. I jokingly said last week, we've got a week to teach these guys how to hate Texas before they get to town. But it's not about that. It's about them going out and playing Razorback baseball, taking care of business, number one team in the nation. Doesn't matter if it's them, LSU, Florida, Vandy, whoever. Go out and take care of business.
I thought Texas catcher Kimball Schuessler was going to give Arkansas some bulletin board material. I was listening to an interview the other day. These were his first two sentences. He says, we're not worried about them. We're not worried about their fans. Like, oh. Yeah, but then he kind of, we're worried about going in and playing our game. And yeah. Just whatever happens, it'll happen. So, I mean, kind of Texas viewing this the same way as Arkansas does. Yeah.
Someone might have nudged him right in the middle of that and said, hey, you better turn that thing around because it was about to go down the wrong road. But you're right. You don't want to give anyone extra fire. You don't want to poke the bear. But you know, here, I think we're the bear. I think we are. I think this team's going to play. They're going to be ready to play this weekend, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The injuries worry me a little bit because you take Sue's out of lineup, it hurt. And then now, you know, you get a guy to fill in. Frazier may not play this weekend. I mean, you know, then Wiggins goes down, big hit to the bullpen. I mean, it's tough. These guys have been through a lot this year, but we're not the only team in the SEC. I mean, it happens.
Texas is going through it too.
Yeah. I mean, teams, I mean, you've got injuries. Yeah, they've lost their best hitter. They're without him.
Their best hitter and maybe their best starting pitcher.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the nature of the game, and that's why it's all about depth and next man up. But someone's got to step up this weekend and have a big series for us.
In right field, how do you think they handle that? I mean, because Kendall Diggs, he's not getting it done at the plate. But I don't know that either that there's with he and Bowles defensively, it feels like there's a drop off when, you know, either of them go into the game as a corner outfielder. I didn't see anything from Cahillo Aloy in that midweek game that makes me think they're going to put him in right field in a conference game that matters, at least if they can avoid it. How do you think they handle this in right? Because that's a big key to this. You know this as well as anybody. When you've got to move your defense around, you know that ball's going to end up in right field a ton of times this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So the way I view it, you're facing a team that's got the best ERA in the conference. I mean, in SEC games, only 2.98. The next highest or next best is LSU at 4.23. There's a huge discrepancy from first to second. Mm-hmm. I think we need to score runs. So for me, I go with my offensive option,
which is Bowles
in right field, because we need offense. Now, if we're playing a team, if it's more of an offensive weekend, then you might go with someone that's – because, you know, the ball's going to be banging all over the yard. I think you go with your defensive guy. That's just the way I approach things. I'm not DVH, though. But, you know, I think there are a few options. And, look, Kendall's – it's not what you hit, it's when you hit. Kendall struggled this year. But you know what? He's a big-time player. Big-time players step up in big games. So, you know, who knows? He might go out this weekend if he gets out there and have a huge series. You don't know what's going to happen in a series like this.
The numbers aren't good for him. Are you seeing anything with him at the plate that's encouraging you that maybe he's taking a step toward breaking out?
Well, in BP, he's looked better, what I've seen. I will tell you, Matt, without getting into mechanics, I think sometimes your stance gives away your weakness, and I think Kendall's stance gives away his weakness. I really do. Without getting into the weeds on mechanics and everything, I think the way he's in the box, the elbow, the way he holds the bat, it's that gives away his weakness right there, and I'll leave it at that. I wish there, you know – anyway, we'll just leave it at that. But I know he's got the potential. He's been huge for us before in the past. He's had huge hits, and you know this could be the weekend he busts out. Hopefully, it is.
Going back to Cahill for a second in right field, because they want him to be a right fielder at some point in time. Where do you think he is in that? And how do you think, without playing in, you know, a lot of games, how do you think he gets to that point? I mean, does he go to summer ball and play right field? Is it fall ball? I mean, how does he get to the point where he can be their right fielder of the future if he's not playing in the games right now?
Yeah, repetition, seeing the ball off the bat. I mean, you can take fungos all day, but I think taking live balls off the bat during BP, that's one of the best things for you. I mean, that's you're getting live balls off the bat, and then going out playing summer ball, playing some outfield during summer ball, getting more reps. I think that's the key. He's athletic. He's fast. He can do it. You know, people make too much about, well, he played one game in right field. He made an error. The error he made, he was just attacking a ball in the corner. Mm-hmm. It was a sure double. He was trying to cut the ball off and get the runner at second. Don't. Go to the corner, field the ball. The guy got a double. Let him have his double. Just don't give him a triple. That's it. That's all he did on that. It wasn't like a, you know, and people want to say, well, he played one game and made an error. Who cares? That was a hustle error, and that's just him trying to do too much. Now, if he misjudged a couple fly balls at him and they bounce off his head and he misses them, a la Canseco, something like that, I'd be a little more worried. But, yeah, I think he could go out there and do a good job for us. And if it ends up with Maxwell DHing and him in right field, let's do it.
If the splits make any, and I'm sure they're looking at the splits, but if that makes any, if that plays any factor in who plays in right, Bowles right-handed, Diggs left-handed, the starter tonight, Ruger Riojas for Texas, left-handers are batting .250 against him, right-handers .201. He's a right-handed pitcher. So there's that. Moving on, you know, are you concerned about Maxwell's hamstring? I mean, this is apparently a multi-year deal for him, and obviously it's been bothering him since at least the preseason. It seems like one of those deals where it's not going to get better this year. In terms of just playing through it, pain management, being able to not only pain management, but being able to have success, because Dave talked yesterday about how he's kind of more slapping at balls here recently as opposed to really being able to, you know put his full the power of his lower body into him. What do you see there? And I mean, how much can he improve as this continues to bother him?
Well, hamstring's tough. I mean, it really is.
You've dealt with this before, right?
I dealt with it, yeah. I had a year in AAA, in the Yankee organization, best year I ever had, up to the All-Star break, right before the All-Star break, the day before, actually. I go to steal second base. My hammy's already tight, end up pulling it. Missed the All-Star game, missed all that. Came back after the All-Star break and just – you know, I had no backside. It was my left hammy. I hit my left handed. I had no, so I ended up pushing instead of driving off my backside. I ended up kind of a hip slide, went downhill, turned into a mental thing, didn't finish up the season well. But boy, once that thing starts hurting, you know, and I told you, I had it for years, went to one of our team chiropractors one year. He's like, oh, your left leg's shorter than your right. Got me lined out, went away. It's crazy. But it can affect a lot of things. It really can. When you're a hitter and there's a part of your body that's not good, it definitely has definitely has effect on you. But boy, you know, you got to get that thing figured out. And you know, it's kind of sucks. A hammy's a thing that when you get it, it's going to nag you all season. You're probably never going to be 100%. But can you go out there and be serviceable? Yeah.
They didn't play Missouri State on Tuesday. And, I mean, even if the weather was fine, I don't think it would have been a good idea. There was a tornado that went through Springfield Tuesday morning. My wife has got family up in Springfield, and she was saying that it affected their property. So, right call on Monday not to play this game. I wonder, from a team standpoint, the benefit of rest versus the benefit of reps – and being able to play that game, how do you view the fact that they weren't able to go up there and play on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think you and I talked about it Monday. It's probably the first time ever that I've hoped for rain. I mean, I'm looking at the weather thinking, come on, rain. I don't want a tornado and anyone to get injured, but I wanted rain. I didn't want us to go up there and play that game. There's no reason to go up there and play it. We got nothing to prove. I think we're better off staying here, getting healthy, getting rested, getting right mentally, rather than going up there on a bus, playing a game, coming back home, getting late at night. You know, guys are finishing up their last week of school. A lot of things going on. I think rain was the best.
They've got finals still coming, but I think today is the last day of classes this semester. I think tomorrow's dead day. And so the semester's not over because they've still got the exams to go. But when you get out of classes, it seems like that always makes a difference for a baseball player.
Absolutely. It's almost like being a professional baseball player. You wake up, all you've got to do is baseball. You know, it's so awesome. You sleep in a little bit. You don't have to worry about classes. You wake up and you think baseball. You go play baseball. You go home. You think baseball at night. It's like that's the only thing you have to do. And it really is a lot like being a professional baseball player.
So I want to say one more thing real quick before we go to break. Phil Elson going into a Hall of Fame this weekend. It is the Jewish Sports Hall of Fame of Western Pennsylvania. He grew up in Pittsburgh. And he told me a few weeks back, he actually called and asked if we had some photos that we could send them, and we did. And he said, you know, this works out well because the ceremony, I think, is on Sunday, and you've got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So just a few words about working with Phil Elson for the last 8 years.
I mean, I think it's well-deserved. I tell you, he's a professional, day in and day out. He's a perfectionist. People don't realize, they hear his voice on the radio, they don't realize how much time he puts in before a weekend series or just a Tuesday game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy how, I mean, he just wants everything to be perfect. And if one little thing is wrong on the broadcast, I mean, he doesn't like it. No one else will notice it, but he notices it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a joy to work with him. I think he's the best there is in college baseball. But I just appreciate the fact of how much effort he puts into it. And I wish people knew that, because you don't, you turn on the radio and you're like, oh, here we go. Mm. You know, but they don't realize that he got there hours and hours before, was up late the night before, you know, just getting prepared. And I don't know. I just think it's awesome.
It's not easy calling a baseball game. I've tried. It's not easy.
Okay, so when I first started doing the radio, I'm like, man, play-by-play guy's got it easy. You know, mm-hmm. he just calls, you know, say, here's a pitch, you know, whatever, calls the guy's name out. And I thought, you know, being the analyst, is the hard part because you got to describe all that. And then I realized, no, it's not.
It's
there's
the other way.
So much you've got to do when you're playing. And it's all the things you got to read. You got to keep everything in line with the commercials and all that. I sit over there, I mean.
Eating honey stingers, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm over there eating like a 10-year-old fat kid. He's over there doing all the work. And so, yeah, it's incredible that and just how good he is. And he makes my job. I was nervous when I first started in 2018, and he made it so easy for me. You know, he would lob me softball questions until I got a little more comfortable with stuff. And so, we have a real good time up there, and I wouldn't want to do that with anyone but him.
When we come back, we're going to look around the SEC this week. We'll dig into Texas a little bit. This great freshman closer they have, Dylan Volantis, talk about him a little bit and a lot more. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Tell you too, you can get the latest breaking news on the Razorbacks at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. Mentioning other teams, softball. They've got a top 10 matchup at Bogle Park this weekend too. They're up to like number 6, I think, in the rankings. This is their regular season finale this weekend. Pretty much the softball games are at the exact same time as the baseball games. They overlap pretty much every day, but this is a big weekend for them. Ethan Westerman's got a preview of that series on our website. Looking around the SEC this week, Bubba, I mean, Arkansas-Texas, I think, is clearly the it's the series of the weekend, but there's others that are good. I mean, you've got Auburn at Tennessee. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Auburn is a team that I feel like a lot of people are kind of sleeping on. It's like every week you look up and, oh, look, Auburn just won 2 of 3 again, or they swept somebody. They're a team that I think is kind of lurking there right outside of the conversation to be a top 8 seed. But I think that, and they've got this chance with Tennessee this weekend. If they win that series, you're talking about a really good feeling, I would think, for them to be a regional host.
I think so. And like you said, people overlook them. And they just keep going out and having good weekends, and so, you know, huge weekend. I hope they beat up on Tennessee, but you know, who knows? Tennessee's scuffling a little bit. They do not play fundamental baseball, Matt. They make errors. They don't hold runners well. There's some issues there. They can score a little bit. Got some good arms, but yeah, they don't do the little things that a lot of other teams in the SEC do.
Florida goes to South Carolina this weekend. South Carolina, it was reported yesterday that Ethan Petrie going to be out for the rest of the season for them. So they were kind of lacking talent in the first place, and he's easily their best player. We'll see if Florida can stay on a roll. LSU goes to Texas A&M, another really interesting series this weekend. A&M got swept by Texas, but you know, they were competitive games. I don't know that I think any less of A&M going in there and losing 3 one-run games than I did going into that series.
I think more of them, actually. They could have easily won all 3 of those games. And if you look how Texas used their pitchers, they did a really good job. But, you know, there's a couple guys in there that they better be careful. They're going to wear them out before the season's over. We're getting ready to talk about one of them.
Yeah.
But no, I thought – I watched a little bit of all 3 of the games last weekend, the A&M-Texas games, and they were good games.
Did you watch any of LSU-Tennessee?
I watched the walk-off. Thought it was awesome.
Were you up for that
at 2 a.m.? No, I watched it the next morning. I don't know if I was up or not. But yeah,
I was actually watching that game, and I fell asleep and woke up, you know, 8 hours later. I don't sleep that long. But about 8 hours later, and oh, look, they they walked it off. I was hoping to see that. I watched the LSU-Tennessee game on Saturday night and anticipated it like I would anticipate a Saturday night SEC college football game.
Yeah.
It was like, this is big time. And it delivered. I think it ended up being like a 9-3 score in the end, but it was a competitive game up until probably about the eighth inning. Really entertaining series there. Kind of like Tennessee, LSU's really good. But I don't feel like either of them, and I kind of, you know, and I'm interested to see Texas this week, but I feel like there's a lot of teams this year, Arkansas would fall in this category, that they're really good, but they got some flaws that I feel like can jump up and bite them at any point in time. And it just feels like this year is as wide open as maybe I've ever seen the sport, or at least the SEC.
I think so. I look at Tennessee a lot like I look at my golf game. They're going to have a meltdown at some point during the game. It's just a matter, is it a colossal meltdown that's going to cost them the game, or is it just a mini meltdown that they might be able to recover from?
Tennessee's like a Happy Gilmore golfer. Yeah. They're going to throw their golf clubs in the pond. And, yeah. Alabama goes to Vanderbilt. Bama, they're still in the conversation to be a regional host. Vanderbilt's playing better. Georgia goes to Missouri. We'll see if Missouri can win one. And Kentucky's at Mississippi State. Mississippi State fired Chris Lemonis this week. What'd you think of that?
You know, so a little surprised. But and then I guess on the other side, I guess not. I mean, they're just – talk about going from the penthouse to the – poop house. Mm-hmm. I mean, just crazy how they, you know, a few years ago they're winning it all, and then they just can't get it together.
Remember you and I were having these conversations, I think it was the year that, because Arkansas was number one for the entire 21 season, and then Mississippi State won the national championship.
Yeah.
And we were having conversations that whole year where it was like, would you take Van Horn or would you take Lemonis? Because it seems like Van Horn is such a better coach.
Yeah.
And I think that year and Lemonis is a perfect example of you can get hot and mm-hmm. maybe get a little lucky and win. I don't know that having that national championship by your name means that I don't think he's a better coach than Jim Schlossnagle. I don't think he's a better coach than Van Horn. I could name off probably 5, 6, 10 other head coaches who have been really good in the college game for a long time who just don't have that championship, who I'd say, hey, I'd much rather have that guy leading the program than Lemonis. It's not a knock against him. It's just I always felt like there was maybe some sort of lack of discipline with the Mississippi State program. And you heard Joe Healy talk about this on our podcast yesterday. He said Lemonis is very famously a player's coach. Mm-hmm. And he said when you're a player's coach, you got to have a really strong locker room to counteract that a little bit. And he felt like Mississippi State had that in 21. They haven't had it since.
Well, you're about to trigger me again. I think you did it on Monday too. But, okay, so there's people, and there's a couple local people here in town that talk about we're not a blue blood program because we haven't won the championship. We haven't won the College World Series. Phil and I have this discussion a lot. Would you trade – you know, Mississippi State's won that national championship a few years ago for years of irrelevance. No, I would never. I like right where we're at. We're one of the top programs in the nation year in and year out. You know, and then you look at it like Bianco at Ole Miss. They mm-hmm. won it in 22. Struggled all year, win it. Next year, they don't even make the SEC tournament. I wouldn't trade that ever. I wouldn't trade Van Horn for Bianco for any of those guys. You don't have to win. You got to win a national championship to be a blue blood program. If you think that, you're a moron. I'm sorry. We're one of the top programs in the nation. We have been. We're going to continue to be. One of these days, there's so many things that have to go right. And it's not the best team that wins the College World Series. It's the team that's playing the best at that time. Uh-huh. Hadn't been us lately, but I tell you what, I'll put our track record up against anybody in the nation.
It's kind of like Florida State. Would you call Florida State a non-blue blood baseball program because they've been to Omaha 25 times and never won it?
Yeah, I mean, it's silly, some of the arguments that you hear out there. And then people talk about, you know, DVH, oh, we lost another one. Well, those are the people that need to crawl back in their basement and just, you know, play their video games.
All right, pipe down, pipe down. One more SEC series. Ole Miss goes to Oklahoma. That's kind of a sneaky good series this week. Both of those teams still in the top 25. Looking at Texas, they look to me like a team, kind of like a, I'm not going to call it a typical Sauce Nickel team because he usually has teams that can hit. But in terms of, they remind me a little bit of A&M last year in the fact that they can pitch. He brought that pitching coach over with him from College Station, Max Wiener, who, I mean, people think that this is the next big pitching coach potentially in college baseball. But Joe said yesterday, and I thought it was a good point, that maybe pro baseball is where his future is. He's got some pro baseball, or a lot of pro baseball coaching experience in his past. And then they can field. That was the thing that I've always felt about Schlossnagel's teams, very similar to how I feel about Arkansas teams, is that they just don't beat him, or they don't beat themselves in the field. And now, offensively, I think Texas is lacking a little bit. They've got their outfielder, Max Ballou. He's out, had a thumb injury, I think, and is out for at least a few more weeks. This was the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year last year, a big centerpiece of their lineup. When you look at Texas, I mean, what are your thoughts about what they do well and what might be susceptible this weekend?
Well, I think it's similar to some teams we've had in the past where pitching-wise, we just dominate. And then hitting-wise, if you look at our stats compared to the SEC, we're down in the bottom. What is Texas hitting? They're hitting .264 as a team in the SEC. We're hitting .313. We're first. I want to say they're ninth in the SEC.
And they did get to play Missouri, so you can't say somebody played Missouri, yeah. Somebody didn't.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, if you look at offensive numbers across the board, I mean, we dominate in every offensive number. The only things they've done better is steal more bases. Defensively, you know, a little better fielding percentage, but still, you know, a lot like us defensively. Now, the difference is their pitching's been really good all year. So it's a team that if you're a baseball fan, you know, they say good pitching beats good hitting. I think good hitting beats good pitching with the right approach. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see that this weekend. I think if you're a baseball fan, you got to love this series because you got the best pitching staff in the SEC versus the best hitting in the SEC. So how can you not love this series?
Texas enters second nationally in ERA, WHIP, opponent batting average. I mean, you go through all the pitching stats, and they're there top five, top ten. And that was kind of the difference in the A&M series last week. And it's hard to do an apples-to-apples comparison, by the way, of what Arkansas did from a pitching standpoint against A&M to what Texas did, because Arkansas was put in that real tough situation where it was already a short week, mm-hmm. and then they had the doubleheader, and they had a lot of pitchers throwing on really short rest. But the fact remains, Texas shut down A&M really well last week. And you know, they're off to the best start. There's only been two other teams that have gone 19-2 to start a 20 through 21 games in the SEC. 13 Vanderbilt, 22 Tennessee. And I was thinking about Tennessee the other night. Remember they had the slip up against Kentucky, yeah. And it was this week of the season, and it was on the road. And I just feel like most SEC teams, Arkansas and that 13 Vanderbilt team are the only ones, Arkansas and 21, those are the only teams that have ever gone through the SEC and won 10 series without a loss. I feel like every team is due a slip up. Will this be the week for Texas? I don't know. Maybe it's next week when they play Florida. Maybe it's the week after when they go to Oklahoma. I just feel like they have been playing so many tight games that at some point in time, you're not going to get the breaks to go your way late. And so, you know, I would think for Arkansas, the key is to get out to some leads and make it to where you're not trying to overcome that one-run deficit or trying to get the game-winning run in the eighth or the ninth inning against this bullpen because the bullpen's really good.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's going to be a fun series. I agree. I feel like everything has gone Texas's way. And now, look, you look at the schedule, and I think this is something that's frustrating with the schedule in the SEC is, you know, supposedly the computer spits it out, right?
Spits into the wind sometimes, yeah, and against it the others.
I mean, our schedule has been – and I'm not taking anything away from Texas. They're a good team.
They've gotten breaks with the schedule. I mean, yeah. You can't – I mean, the best teams they've played – they played in Austin.
Exactly.
The worst teams they played on those teams' home field.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
And so now, how do you factor that in when it comes to the postseason? I guess that goes back to what I said earlier, Matt, is we'll really get a feel for how good they are when they come to Baum Walker. If you can come to Baum Walker and play that well, then you're a good team. And, you know, and even if they don't, even if we sweep them, even if we win 2 out of 3, it doesn't mean they're not a good team. It just means that everything's kind of gone their way. And I agree. I think they're due for a weekend where the breaks don't go their way. Now they've got good players, and I watched the games, and they brought Dylan Volantis. He pitched multiple.
He looks phenomenal.
He made Lavalette look really bad. I want to say he struck him out on three sliders in a row. One might have been a cutter, but it was It looked like three sliders in a row. And I think he throws that knuckle curve. It looks like a knuckle curve, but I think it's a slider. He's the real deal. But if you face him, and I looked at his numbers, Matt, and I mean he's got 36 strikeouts. 36 Ks, 3 walks in the SEC. Hitters hitting 147 again. Mm-hmm. That's SEC only. But I watched him play against A&M. Most of the pitches he threw, you know, I say all the time, you get ahead with strikes, you get outs with balls. He had them chasing pitches out of the zone. If they could almost gone up there and just taken and walked because those pitches weren't strikes. They were swinging at. Now, they're dirty. They're nasty. And
it probably looks like a strike coming out of his hand.
Oh, it's a strike, ball right at the end. And that's what good pitchers do. And he had him chasing it. But, boy, he made Lavalette look bad. That's hard to do.
He doesn't look like a freshman.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't pitch like
physically,
a freshman.
Physically?
Yeah.
I mean, like anything about him resembles a freshman. Nothing about him.
But you know what? Think of some of the freshmen we've had at the back end of the bullpen. We've had some pretty good dudes at the back end of the bullpen.
I mean, Wiggins.
Yeah.
Wiggins would be one. I mean, you know? Now he's an older freshman. He was, you know, he'll be draft eligible sophomore next year. But yeah, I mean, you get these freaks every now and then.
Yeah. Like and you're getting to, you know, we're in May. These guys really aren't freshmen anymore. Do you know what I mean? They've had all fall. They've had over half the SEC.
It's different
season.
Than a freshman in football.
Exactly.
Because if you're a freshman in football, you're still in your first semester of college. Yeah. Now these guys have been away from home for a year. Yeah, I get it. But, boy, his numbers are good. 0.98 ERA, 0.76 whip. 50, you mentioned his SEC numbers. This is for the season. 52 Ks, 6 walks in 36 and 2/3 innings, fourth nationally with 11 saves, and 10 of those have come in SEC play. That's a number that stands out to me because, it's easy to get it's possible to get a lot of saves built up in those early season or midweek games. He's doing this against SEC teams, and it looks like he's getting stronger as the year goes on.
I think so, and that's why at this part of the year, I throw out everything except SEC stats. I don't care about the chumps are playing midweek. I care about what they're doing in SEC. Now, I will tell you, last weekend, Max Grubbs pitched all 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Volantis threw
twice.
Twice. Yeah. Threw quite a few pitches on 19 and 40, I think, were his pitch totals.
Here's the thing with Texas. Jared Spencer, their starter, he was their Friday night guy. He is done for the season. Injured his shoulder. I think he's going to have surgery on it. You know this as well as anybody. There is a down-the-line effect that occurs. And Jim Schlossnagle talked about this the other night. I think one of his big concerns, not just for this series, but just moving forward, is getting his pitching staff deeper so that they're ready for regional play. So I think that that's one of these, again, whether it's Arkansas, Florida, OU, whoever, I think somebody can potentially, if they could get to Riojas in game one, or if they could get to Luke Harrison in game 2, get him out in the 3rd inning.
Yeah.
There's an effect that can have, especially once you get to game 3.
And think, what have we done all year? We've been really good against other teams' starters. We've run their pitch counts up.
Usually.
For the most part.
There have been a couple of times here the last couple of weeks where I feel like that hasn't happened, and maybe that's been one of the differences in why are they not winning the series. I feel like they haven't. And this is like where Souza not playing, I think, is a big deal because we talked about him. He might strike out, but he might make you throw 6, 8, 9 pitches to do it.
Yeah.
And there's a cumulative effect, right, on that.
And you take a guy like Frazier, he swings early in the count. He might swing the first pitch 4 times.
He had 2 3 pitch strikeouts last week against Florida.
Really? Yeah. So I mean it's freshman. But But I feel like, you know, he said he's trying to expand his guys that he trusts. I feel like it's like his circle of trust is really small. Mm-hmm. If you look at the guys that pitched last weekend, now they were all tight games, but there's a little small circle of guys that Schlossnagel trusts. And at some point, you know, you got to use more guys because those guys are going to break down.
Well, I think the key for them was didn't their starters go pretty deep into those games against A&M?
Five innings, six innings, mm-hmm. and then Sunday was like two innings. Sunday was a bad start.
Okay, I mean, still 13 innings. Yeah. That's a big difference. Those four innings can be a big difference, right?
Yeah.
With your bullpen. I mean,
even one inning.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be honest with you, you and I talked about last week, if Gackle could have just given us one more inning mm-hmm. on Saturday, you know, then that kind of changes things when it comes to Jimenez. So, I mean, it's crazy how, you know, you talk about those 27 outs. You know, it's huge.
Well, like Arkansas, I feel like, and I've said this a couple times this week, I feel like they are a team that's built to be able to pitch 10, 12 innings on the weekend. You start asking for 15, then that's a different story. Because when you're asking for 15, then you're having to recycle guys, and I don't know that they're quite as good the second time through. Dave Van Horn was asked about Texas yesterday, and this is what he had to say about the Longhorns.
They've won a lot of close games, and they've done a great job. They pitched extremely well in league play. I mean, their team ERA in league is really good. And overall, I mean, it's just over three, I think. So baseballs, and they're a little firmer than they've been in the past, it seems like. And the bats are good. And, you know, they've just done a tremendous job of finishing games, and they've got a freshman closer, a lefty, it's like 6'6", that's been really good. And you know, they don't make too many mistakes, and they've won at home big time. They've won just enough on the road, and you know, the league's doing what I thought the league would do, except for Texas. I thought the league would kind of pound each other a little bit. Texas has found a way to get those two out of threes and sweep some game or some weekend series, and that's why they pulled away.
Dave Van Horn on the Longhorns. I'm so looking forward to tonight. Yeah. When OU and Texas, and this has been 4 years ago, when they were announced to the SEC, of course, everybody looks at things through football lens and whatever. I always look at things through a baseball lens, or at least it's a consideration. And one of my very first thoughts was, man, can you imagine a Friday night baseball series when Texas comes to Baum Walker Stadium, or a Friday night when Arkansas goes to Dish Falk, you know, whenever that happens at some point in time. I know it's not Friday night, it's Thursday this year because TV has picked this up, but I'm looking forward to this because this was one of the things that I think made the expansion of the SEC so appealing to me, at least.
Well, I think all your old timers wanted them to be one of the teams that we play every year, which, yeah, it'd be fun, but I'd rather play Missouri every year from a win-loss standpoint. But you're right. I mean, I've been looking forward to it all week. I think, and the weather's going to be good tonight. I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a crazy crowd. And I think a lot of your people that remember the rivalry that are still coming to games, that came to games way back then, are going to be excited about tonight. And I just think it's going to be fun. I think the players, I think they'll see it the minute the gates open. I think they're going to feel a little bit of a buzz in the stadium they haven't heard yet this year.
I agree with you about people probably are more excited from a win-loss perspective to play Missouri. But boy, if Missouri doesn't get any better than they were this year, and this is probably rock bottom for them, I get that, but how much better does that really make? I almost would rather sacrifice the wins for the competition that makes you better. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's big takeaway for me is I wish that they still had divisions. And you put Texas and – boy, think about this division from baseball. If you had Texas and LSU and the Mississippi schools and Arkansas and OU – and maybe Missouri, and they all got in there and tangled it up. I mean, talk about every weekend would be appointment television in that division.
Well, we talk about
A&M.
We talk about all, yeah, we talk about that all the time. You know how much more fun that would be to have the divisions, and I want Missouri in there, by the way. Just so you know, I usually agree for with you. I totally disagree with you on that. I want those three wins. It's you got 30 games.
Do you want those 30, three wins, though, if the games were like they were?
Hell yeah, I want those three wins. Really? I don't care if they're run rule. I don't care what. I want those three wins because
I felt bad watching that baseball series.
I didn't feel bad. If you don't like it, play better. Good grief. I want those three wins because there's plenty of other hard weekends. Think of all the other hard weekends that you have. Right. Give us one. We're due for one. Give us one easy weekend. But I agree. And I don't know who's making these decisions, Matt. It's common sense. Two divisions. Baseball needs divisions. Now you look at it right now, and there's a big clump of teams, 16 teams, and you're like, okay, who cares? It almost takes away from like winning the West, like we have 5 out of 6 years. It's like now, I mean, who cares if you win the SEC title? What does that really get you? Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it's totally different. Where in the past, I'd be like, come on, we got to win the West. We got to win the West. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've got these games against LSU, and, you know, you're like, I don't know. It feels totally different to me this year. I hardly even look at rankings right now. I really don't. I'm just looking forward to postseason.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, if Texas, you know, there's a chance they could win the SEC this weekend. If they win the series and some things break other ways elsewhere, they could win the SEC while here in Fayetteville. That's something to watch, too, this weekend.
That would suck because they're going to celebrate on our field.
But it's such a – and that's the thing. It's like it's such a big lead that they have.
Yeah.
I was on Bo Mattingly's show this morning. I said, think about it this way. They've got basically a two-week lead in the SEC. Like, yeah. Don't even look at it from game. They've got like a 2 week lead. They could have two really bad weeks and still be right there in contention to win this thing. That's how far ahead they are.
Okay, but back to this point, if they lose their regional, does anyone care? Anyone remember? Oh, they lost their regional, but they won the SEC. No one cares.
They'll be trying to send Schlossnagel back to College Station.
Yeah, exactly. All I care about is let's be playing at home in June. That's all I care about.
I'll be meeting him in College Station with pitchforks and fiddles. I would like to see this every year, but I'm going to enjoy this while they play this weekend. Who do you think should be the SEC Player of the Year?
I think Vahiva should. I think Kojal should. I think no. You know, it depends on how you look at it. Like, obviously, I'm a homer. I look at the total. Everyone wants to look at the offensive numbers when it comes to something like that. Okay, this guy's got this many home runs. He's got this batting average. I think, you know, if you really look at total play, Vahiva is the guy you pick. As of right now, there's three weekends left. But look at what he's meant to this team and some of the plays he's made defensively. And some of the big home runs he's hit to tie the game or put us ahead late. I mean – and you could also make that, you know, for Lavalette. I mean, his numbers aren't that great, but look what he means to the team. Look what he brings to them in center field, on the bases. I mean, clutch hitting. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, that's just my opinion. Now, there's three weekends left. It could change. I mean, who do you think?
Vahiva is the player that I keep leaning toward, and I keep and I want to be careful not to be, like biased because I watch him every game, but I keep putting him, you know, side by side with all these other players. Like, well, Justin LeBron, for example, from Alabama, he got off to a great start. In SEC play, it's just been kind of so-so for him. Yeah. And defensively, he's not as good as Aloy has been. Laviolette, that's the player that I keep coming back to where I'm like, because I was watching them in that series here a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, okay, you just hit a double, I'm going to hit a homer here next half inning. I mean, it was like it was like this one-on-one battle within the game that they were having. And Laviolette, too, the thing that surprised me a little bit about him was how much ground he could cover in center field. He probably took away 2, 3, maybe 4 hits during that series.
Easily.
I mean, he was all over the place. And I was real impressed with that. So those are the two players I think that probably – come to mind, Zaborski from Georgia, just because of the power numbers. And it's not just power with him. I mean, he's leading the league, I think, in OPS. He's leading the league, or maybe second or third in batting average. So he's up there in, you know, it's kind of like Condon last year. It wasn't just the home runs. It was the home runs plus the fact that he was hitting 400.
But that goes back to, sorry to interrupt, but that goes back to what do you put value in? Is it all about offense?
No,
it's all about what does a guy bring to your team?
And that's why I'm saying I think Vahiva and Lavillette are probably the two front runners to me because of what they do offensively and what they do defensively.
But I know what we look at, but what is
– Well, the coaches are the ones that are voting on this.
Yeah, so. Well, there you go. So – That's
It'll be interesting to see how this goes, but there's going to be a lot of conversation, I think, about that over the next couple of weeks because, you know, it's the time of year. I mean, they're going to name this the day before the SEC tournament begins.
Yeah.
And we're less than 3 weeks from that, right?
I think it's hard to watch a weekend series, watch Vahiva play and not be like, this is the dude. Of course, mm-hmm. you can't say the same about Lavillette. You really can. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, but I mean, what he brings to the team.
He doesn't have the protection around him. Mm-mm. I think his numbers would be totally different this year if Gavin Grochovac didn't get injured, because that's his little buddy, you know, hitting behind him, right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, that worries me about this weekend. You know, I was talking about it yesterday. Not having Maxwell behind Vahiva to me is a huge, huge difference right there.
Okay, let's get out of here on this.
Okay.
Tonight, the 1,000th college game at Baumwalker Stadium. It'll be Arkansas's 970th. There have been 30 regional games there, too. What's your favorite? Favorite Baumwalker Stadium memory?
How do you know that there's been 1,000 games?
How many more hours do we have in this podcast?
I'm sorry. Like, where do you find that?
Well, I said this yesterday. What happened was they won their 700th game at Baum earlier this year. And so I got curious about how many games they played there total. And then I had this thought, well, there have been these other games that have been played there too that didn't involve Arkansas. So I looked it all up and I wrote down a note and I said, if there are no rainouts between now and then, game one against Texas will be the 1,000th game at Baum.
Wow. I wish I had that much free time. What if you get there tonight and you find out, wow, it's the 1,001st game? Like Grant Hall pulls something out of his butt.
Yeah, he's not going through.
Okay, my favorite game. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. But that's incredible that you know that because, yeah, anyway.
You know that meme with like all the numbers floating around the guy's head? Yeah. That's kind of how I live my life.
You're freaking Rain Man over there, I'm telling you. Okay, so obviously you go back to Brady Toups' home run. I think that kind of that changed Razorback baseball forever.
That play almost shouldn't be allowed to be part of the discussion because it sits in a – like in the pyramid.
Yeah.
Like if you got a pyramid, it sits up there at the top by itself. There's nothing else that could really compete.
Since I've been doing this, I think Charlie Welch's home run against Florida, 21 – to win the SEC. I think that home run, wasn't that 20? Yeah, it was 21. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. The energy in the stadium. Probably another one of mine was the Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
That game against Nebraska in the regional, that was crazy. And then he hit a home run. I think he hit that in the eighth inning, though. Three-run homer in the eighth.
Yes.
It wasn't in the ninth.
Yeah.
And I think we're already ahead. I want to say
they scored on a wild pitch pitch before.
Yeah, pass ball or a wild pitch, and then he hits the home run. But still, I remember the energy in the stadium was. I mean, I had chills when that happened. It was it was unbelievable. So I think one of those. If you're not going to let me count Brady Toups, I'll go one of those. I'm going to say the pinch hit against Florida. What you got?
You know the 21. Those are interesting. The two that stand out to me, and I'm limiting to the games that I was at because I was not at the Brady Toups game. I was taking a nap, actually. There's a great story about me and the Brady Toups home run and missing it. But the two that I was there for that really stand out to me was James McCann's walk-off home run to beat LSU on a Friday night in 2011, and then the Missouri State 3 a.m. game.
Yeah.
That was just surreal. Living through that and interview it, watching Bob Holt question Keith Gutton at 4 a.m. in the morning when Keith Gutton clearly just wanted to get to bed.
Right.
Was that was something else.
I would love to hear that interview.
Yeah.
you'll have to research that and send that to me.
All right. So, I mean, those are my two picks, but I don't think you can go wrong. I think there's a lot of games there, but kind of interesting. 1,000 games at Baumwalker. Tonight will be number 1,000. Maybe it'll be the most memorable.
Could be.
Who knows? That's why you show up to the ballpark. We will be back with another podcast tomorrow. We'll discuss what happens during tonight's game. Bubba will be back in studio on Monday. We'll talk about the series. Hope that we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com, later today for all of our coverage of Arkansas-Texas Game 1. Hope we see you tomorrow on our podcast. Have a great day, everybody.